Well, this morning, the Lord willing, we are concluding our discussion on an important and a major Christian foundational principle, and that is the principle of believing in the Word of God, the Holy Bible. That is absolutely vital to us. Now, last week, we looked at the infallibility of the Bible, and one of the topics that we came up with during that time, two of them actually, was it is God's infallible record to mankind, and it is also God's infallible rule for mankind, a record and a rule, and we learn from it. Now, this morning, we are going to look at the indestructibility of God's Word and the indispensability of God's Word of the Bible. So we looked at the infallibility of God's Word, now the indestructibility and the indispensability of the Bible. So first of all, the indestructibility of the Bible. Peter reminds us and his readers this: the Word of the Lord stands forever. Really important for you and me to keep in mind. The Word of the Lord never changes. God never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when we think about it, His Word never changes as well. That's why the Bible is so vitally important to all of us. And it matters not how young or how old we are. We can always read something in God's Word that will speak to us. I don't know about you, but I've found on numerous occasions, I've read through the Bible on many occasions over the years, but every now and then, I'll read a verse, and I'll look at it, and I say, I don't even remember that being there before, but it is speaking to my heart now. God has a way in order to speak to you and to me through His Word. We know that Jesus is the living Word, and the Bible is the written Word. So we must always have our Bibles with us. We are at home. I suspect that most of us have more than one Bible in the home. What we need to do is make sure that we not only treat it with reverence, but also that we read it and we inwardly digest what God's Word has to say for us. So this morning, let us look at Peter's first letter, and it's 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning to read at number 13, verse number 13. If you're looking at the Pew Bible, it's on page 1200 in the Pew Bible. So let us hear the Word of God. Therefore, prepare your minds for action, be self-controlled, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, "Be holy, because I am holy." Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb, without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through Him you believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and glorified Him. And so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from your heart, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the Word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the Word that was preached to you. And this is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. God's holy Word. The Bible is the Word of God, and it has been around for centuries. We're looking at the indestructibility of God's Word. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." God's words, Jesus' words, are always before us and always there. In John's Gospel, we read, "The Scripture cannot be broken." To fully understand the indestructibility of the Bible, we need to consider the story of its preservation and its publication. Its preservation. The Bible, often referred to as a book, is actually 66 books in one. Accordingly, the Bible contains the oldest books in the world. Would you believe that? It's true. The first portions were written over 3,000 years ago and nearly 1,000 years earlier than any other recorded history that we have. Herodotus, one of the oldest historians, whose writings are with us today, throughout the long, he was a contemporary of Ezra and Nehemiah, a contemporary of Ezra and Nehemiah. And portions of the scripture were written thousands of years before Ezra and Nehemiah wrote. So Herodotus was a contemporary of Ezra and Nehemiah, but we have the word of God that goes back even further than that. It's very interesting that when we think about God's word, throughout history, the Bible has been burned and hidden and criticized and ridiculed and neglected. You know, when terrorists move in to any country to take over, did you know that one of the first things they do is make sure that all the Bibles are burned up, that people get rid of their Bibles? Why? That has to be an action of Satan. It's Satan because he does not want God's word to be read, digested, or appreciated. They want to get rid of God's word. Here's an interesting fact. A French writer by the name of Voltaire, he was known as one of the wisest, funniest, and cleverest people in the 18th century. And toward the end of his life, he declared at least, that his writings would displace the Bible, and that in 100 years, the word of God would be forgotten. Now, can you imagine? That's what he said. When we think about these words, how arrogant, how boastful, how untrue. Now, you remember there's a chap on the radio years ago by the name of Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey would say, and now let's hear the rest of the story. Well, now we know what Voltaire said, that his writings were going to displace the Bible. And then we discover this. In 25 years from that statement being made, the publishing house, which propagated Voltaire's works, became the center for the Geneva Bible Society. Now, interesting that there were 90 beautifully bound volumes written against the Bible. They were sold for pennies. About the same time, one very old copy of an Old Testament manuscript was sold for thousands of dollars. Yes, truly, the word of God lasts forever. I think it was extremely ironic that Voltaire said that his works would displace the Bible. And then, 25 years later, that very building in which published his works turned over to be the Geneva Bible Society headquarters. This is God with a sense of humor. To fully understand the indestructibility of the Bible, we need to consider the story of its preservation and its publication. Someone has observed that the Bible is never off the printing press. That's really incredible when you think about it. Throughout the world, there are many Bible distributors and printers, and the Bible is never off the printing press. Here are some very interesting facts. Did you know that there are 20 million Bibles sold each year? 20 million Bibles. 1,066,000 sold each month, 384,000 sold each week, almost 55,000 sold every day. There are 2,289 Bibles sold every hour of the day, 38 Bibles sold every minute, and 6.4 Bibles sold every 10 seconds. Now we can see that this Bible is a publication that people want to get their hands on. They want to know what it's all about. It is by far the world's best seller. I often think of missionary literature. And try and think of this in your mind. Missionaries would go into a nation or into a tribe. Many of them did not have a written language. And these missionaries would go in firmly convinced of the word of God, realizing that the people needed the word of God. They didn't necessarily know the language, so they learned the language. And as they learned the language, they found the significance of their words. And finding those significance, then they built an alphabet. And after building an alphabet, they then built a grammar. And then they translated the Bible into that tribe's language. absolutely magnificent when we think about the consistency of these people who would go in to a place where there was no written language, and they were able to study the language to the point where they understood it, and then able to translate the Word of God. This was missionary outlet, and I just praise God for it. Absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing that here's the hand of God working through these missionaries to get the Word of God. I read the story one time of there was only one Bible in a whole tribe of people. And so what did they do? They tore every page out of the Bible and shared a page with somebody. Shared a page so they could have the Word of God within them, within their own being. The Word of God is vitally important, not only to them, it's important to you and to me today. We talked about the infallibility of the Bible. We talked about the indestructibility of the Bible. And now let's look at the indispensability of the Bible. Peter reminds us, and this is the word that was preached to you. Within the covers of sacred scripture, we have God's authority regarding the revelation of God and the redemption of man. Now think about it. The revelation of God and the redemption of mankind. Two vitally important, eternally important topics. The revelation of God. In the book of Hebrews, we read these words. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through him he made the universe. Now let's stop and think about that for a moment. There are many people who know about Jesus, know that he came in Bethlehem at Christmas time. They also know that at Easter time he died, and he was buried, and he rose again from the grave. That they know. But what many people do not know, sadly, some Christians haven't fully absorbed this either, is that Jesus always existed. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit always existed. Did you hear those last words? And through him whom he made the universe. So the very universe that we have, God is spirit. Jesus is the manifestation of God. And when we think about it, Jesus was there at the beginning, whenever that was. And Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, made the universe and the earth and everything that's in it. I contend that God wanted to create humankind, you and me. And therefore, he designed the universe with an earth upon it. The earth in exactly the right place, the right distance from the sun, the right distance from the moon, the right distance in all of the universe that could sustain life as we know it and understand it. And he made this home for his creation, for humankind, for you and for me. We are here not because of some evolving method. We are here because we have been created by God in the universe that he's created for all of us. Jesus the Christ is the final and authoritative revelation of God. The Bible is the final and authoritative revelation of Jesus the Christ. The beloved apostle John brings these two thoughts together. And we read this in John's gospel, in the first chapter and in the 20th chapter, he says this, "No one has ever seen God, but God the one and only begotten Son, who is the Father at the Father's side, has made him known." Jesus has made the Father known. And then John writes, "But these signs are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." Did you get that? By believing in him, we may have life. Now, that doesn't mean the life that we have now, because we already have that life. We were born with that life. But it refers to life everlasting. It refers to life eternal. It refers to life with Jesus forever and forever. The Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Christ is absolutely central to the Bible, to the Word of God. Every page of Holy Scripture focuses on him. To encounter Christ is to look into the very face of God. For the Lord Jesus, we have the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. Let me read it again. The Son, Jesus, is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. I've oft thought about when Jesus, with three of his disciples, went up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they were there, they saw him in all of his glory. He was transformed in front of them. Elijah the prophet was there. Moses was there. Here was this gathering, three disciples, Jesus, plus the two from the Old Testament. And they saw him in all his glory. His clothing was so white that not even the greatest javics of any nature could ever make it as white as needed. All because Jesus, and this was his radiance, this was his glory. You've often heard me say, if you want to know what God is like, look to Jesus. Jesus is his perfect representation. You want to know what God is like? Study the word about Jesus. Learn about his compassion. Learn about him looking at you, looking into your very soul, looking into our heart, looking into our mind. Think about Jesus, who he is, what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do, what he's done for you, and he's done for me. I believe it is obvious that we as humans need to be redeemed. Another word for that is we need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from spending an eternity in hell, and saved to spending an eternity with Jesus in all of his glory. Vital. We need to be saved. And yet, try as hard as we might, try as hard as we wish, we cannot save ourselves. People have tried down through the years. They've studied philosophies. They've studied other religions. They've studied everything that is available on earth to find out how they can gain a better life, how they can gain something in the future. They don't know what it is, but they want to gain it in the future. They want to believe that there's something after death, and indeed there is. And this is what we learn in all of this, God's word, because we hear this. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no name, other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Now hear this. No other name under heaven given to men, you and me, by which we must be saved. And that name is Jesus. And it is putting our full trust in him. That's what the word of God says. That's what it is we must do. John Wesley was the leader of a revival movement in what was then the Church of England. I think the Church of England may need some revival in it today. But at any rate, this John Wesley, he started this revival movement and it became known as Methodism. Now listen to what he said. He said, I am a creature of a day, passing through life as an arrow through the air. I am a spirit coming from God and returning to God. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven. That's what people want to know, the way to heaven. Pardon me. God himself has condescended to teach us the way. He hath written it down in a book. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. What is the book of God? The Holy Bible, the scripture. We have that book. Praise be to God. Ever since the creation of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, humankind has cried out to God Almighty, wanting to know how to be saved. Excuse me. Last week I had laryngitis. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I could hardly speak at all. Then the Lord gave me my voice back. But as I told the Bible study group on Wednesday morning, some of you may experience this. I have this little poke in the back of my throat. I do not know what will stop that poke, but that poke causes me to cough, and I cough, and it doesn't clear the poke. It's very annoying. Maybe you've experienced that. And if you ever found out the solution, let me know what that solution is, because that would be an answer to prayer. But anyway, that poke comes every now and then, and it just did. Now, the Word of God, the Bible, is absolutely indispensable. Listen to these three things. Indispensable to personal salvation, social integration, and national reformation. Three things. Personal salvation, social integration, and national reformation. The Bible, the Word of God. Personal salvation. We all know there was a young man by the name of Timothy, and he was Paul's protege. Paul reminded Timothy that from a child he had known the Scriptures. His mother and his grandmother always quoted the Scripture to him. My dad and my mother often quoted Scripture. Quoting Scripture in our home is vital and important. It's the way we as children learn. There's only one book able to make a person wise to salvation, and that is through faith in Jesus Christ as Savior. 2 Timothy 3:15. Remember, the Word of God has not been given to us for information, although it includes a wealth of information. In fact, our theology ought to be based on the first 11 chapters of the book of Genesis. Keep that in mind when you're reading through it. Read through that it is truth, not fiction. It is contrary to what the world is teaching. However, it's not given to us for information, although there's information in it. It's given to us for transformation, that we can be transformed from our old way of life to a new way of life. What's the old way of life? Living the way we think we ought to live. What is the new way of life? That new way of life is coming to Jesus and allowing him to rule and reign in our heart. I'm impressed by the conclusion of a Chinese man who read through the Bible on several occasions, and this is what he said: whoever made this book made me. Whoever made this book made me. Think about it. God, who made this book, who caused this book to be written, caused it to be preserved, held down through the ages to where you and I have it today. This same God was responsible for making you and making me. Without doubt, the Word of God is powerful. The Word of God, the Bible, is indispensable to personal salvation and to social integration. Paul's writings were divinely inspired, and they continue to be a great benefit today. Paul wrote, "Let the word of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace, and be thankful." Now think about this, social integration. Let the word of Christ rule in your hearts, that's every believer, since as members of one body, Christ's body, we are called to peace, peace, and be thankful. Blessed are the peacemakers. You may be called to be the peacemaker in your place of work, at school, in your classroom, wherever you are, in your neighborhood, because not any special ability you have, but because of Christ living within you. Praise be to God. You may be that peacemaker. Keep it in mind. And instead of being one to go in and agitate, I know of a fellow one time, he felt that his God's given gift was to stir things up and cause a problem. We don't need those kind of people. That's not a spiritual gift from God the Father. It's a gift. The gift of peacemaking comes from God the Father through his Holy Spirit. Now then, emanating from these words and applying them is motivates the sanctity of married life, the security of family life, and the stability of social life. God's word is what does this for you and for me. The word of God, the Bible, is indispensable to personal salvation, to social integration, and national reformation. Why would I say that? Well, I say that because of this word. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. There are nations today that are ruling and reigning in sin. How many nations can you and I count? Can we count them on one hand? Can we come up with a number at all of a nation who respects righteousness, exalts a nation, and sin is a disgrace to people? This is God's word. The Bible is the only authority on the kind of righteousness that exalts a nation. No other book can give them that kind of information. Only the Word of God. No other book has to its credit such a record of lives redeemed, moral outcasts regenerated, distressed and anxious souls cheered, and individuals, nations remade. Excuse me. I'm sure you find my cough as annoying as I do. I'm sorry. Let me read this. Lives redeemed, moral outcasts regenerated, distressed and anxious souls cheered, and individuals and nations remade. This is the power of the Word of God. Never has the world known such a high code of ethics. I find it both interesting and alarming that the Ten Commandments used to be held up as the basis of law of almost any country in the world, the basis of law. And then in the past, I don't know, 10 or 15 years, nations that used to honor the Ten Commandments have disgraced the Ten Commandments, taken them down in courtrooms, taken them down in schoolrooms, taken them down in other places, no longer pointing to the Word of God. This is a shame. It's a disgrace. It's awful for those countries that have done so, those court systems. They're taking their eye off God the Father, taking their eye off of the Word of God, if they ever had their eye upon the Word of God at all. Christians everywhere, when they commit to reading, studying, and understanding God's Word, will soon discover that God's Word is infallible, and we learn from it. It is indestructible, and we love it. It is indispensable, and we live it. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you particularly when we think back over all the centuries, how your word has been maligned, how it's been burned, how it's been tried to, people have tried to get rid of it. They haven't succeeded. In the short run, maybe, but in the long run, your word is here. It is for us this day. It is your word to your people. It's God's love letter to the people who love him. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that all gathered in this building this day who have come to worship you, stand on the word of God as the basis for their living. We pray, O God, that your word will be front and center and foremost in our hearts and everything that we do. O Lord, we honor your word of God, your word. But above your word, we honor you, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we praise you for this time together. In our Savior's name we pray. Amen.